Welcome to the Family Bible Study. This will be Family Radio's Jeremiah Study, number 194.
It is truly a wonder that God has given us His Word and so much of it. We can never really get enough of it. And so let's look again at what God would teach us today. Now we are working in slowly on through the book of Jeremiah. And we've come to Jeremiah chapter 9. Now let's go down to verse 4. We spent a little time with verse 3, where God is emphasizing why he must do this, as sorrowful as he is. And in verse 4 he goes on, "Take ye heed, every one his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders." Now there's another word introduced here that we haven't seen before that I can recollect as we've been going through Jeremiah, and that is the word brother. Brother. That's a significant word. You know, it's one thing to have enemies out there and people who are just acquaintances or who we don't know at all, who are shooting their arrows at us and who are out to get us. But here he's talking about brothers. Now in the Bible, God uses the word brothers principally in two ways. One is it can be a blood brother, someone who is of the same father or the same mother or both. Or it can also be those who are brethren in the congregation. And you know, as we go through the church age, and some of us have had real intimate experience with this, we looked at our fellow church members as brethren in the Lord. We looked upon them as those that we could trust. We could come to them for counsel. We could come to them for understanding of the Word of God. We were brethren in the Lord. And we used that term constantly, Brother Jones, Brother Smith, Sister Susan, Sister whoever, and because we are spiritually a family. But look at the ugly thing that God is saying here. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not any brother. Now that's an enormous indictment. That means that we already learned in our last study that the foundation of all of this wrath of God is the fact that mankind are deceivers, they're liars, and they're not trustworthy. But, you know, we know that when we are out in the merchandising world, we want to feel the merchandise before we pay for it. We want to know, what are we getting? Why do we do that? Why do we very carefully examine the merchandise? Because we don't trust what the seller might do to us. When we want a guarantee of some kind that if this doesn't work the way you claim it does, we can return the merchandise. And there's a basic mistrust, and that's expected. Let God be true, and every man a liar. But when we come into the local congregation situation, we say, oh no, Brother Jones or Sister Amy or whatever, they are, oh, they're wonderful people, and they're absolutely trustworthy and so on. Well, ostensibly that appears to be the case, but is it really? If they are buying the doctrines of the church, and that's why they're there. This is not if. The fact is that they are there in that congregation, and a faithful member is because they believe this is truth. And so they are living in a deceptive atmosphere where they have bought the deception. Every doctrine that is taught them by their church fathers that is not true to the Word of God is a lie, and they have accepted it as truth. And so now you go to your Sister Susan or Sister Amy or Brother Smith or Brother White or whoever, whatever his name is, and you ask for help with this passage or help with a situation, and they, to the best of their knowledge, will try to be true to you. Or give you truth, give you an honest, fair answer. But if they themselves have been deceived, what are they doing to you? Are they trustworthy? The answer is no. They're just peddling the same lie. And they're making it even worse because they are assuring you that this lie, and they themselves think it is the truth, they don't know that it's a lie, they are effectively telling you, this lie that I am giving you is the truth. And so God here is warning, don't trust any brother. When he says, don't trust any, take heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not any brother. And when we talk about a neighbor, that's just anybody who comes, and we can understand that more readily. Oh, yeah, well, this fellow's on the outside. He comes with his philosophy or his ideas, and we are not to trust him. But when you start talking about a brother, someone who is part of the family, now we have a different case, and God is setting up the warnings just because they're sincere and wonderful people, charming people, seem to have a knowledge of the Word of God. Don't trust them. Who do we trust? Who do we trust? The Bible. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it wonderful that constantly we can check out what we are being taught by anyone? No matter how reputable they may be, no matter how much they may appear to be faithful in their personal life, as well as faithful in their understanding of the Word of God, we can check them out because we too have the Bible. Don't trust any brother. And here comes the indictment for every brother. My, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Now, supplant and slander, that's a function of lies. That's a function of idle gossip. That's a function of spreading tales. That's a function of that which is not true and trustworthy. And God says, this is what they will do. Well, is that a fair indictment? Now, come on. Is that really fair? Do you mean that now if I'm in a local congregation, I can't trust anybody? Here is Brother Smith. He is such a wonderful man of God. My, he's been an elder for years and years, and he's got a reputation of kindness and honesty and fairness. And my, is he a wonderful teacher? You mean I can't trust him? Our pastor is such a man of God. My, he tells us how he prays constantly that God will give him wisdom. And my, he is so humble as he preaches these sermons. And as we listen to him, it just seems like he is so faithful to the Word of God. Can't we trust him either? Is it that bad? It is that bad. How do we know that it's that bad? Because they're still in the church. And what are they doing there? God has given the command that we are to come out. And if anybody is not obeying that command, it means they don't understand the will of God. In fact, if you listen to, and I say this again and again, I hear people say, but we have a wonderful pastor. He's faithful to the Word of God. He's so faithful. I always want to ask the question, tell me, what does he preach? Does he preach salvation messages where he's really getting into an understanding that God alone can save us? Is that the normal content of his preaching? Because that's the message of the gospel. That is the essential message of the gospel. Or do you find that after you listen to him preaching and you just appreciate what he says, but it has to do with morality or with Christian living, how we are to behave with our neighbor, and so on. And you will find that that is normally the kind of preaching that is heard because these preachers don't understand salvation. They're unable. If they did preach a salvation message, then anyone who is, really knows the Word of God would ordinarily hear that they don't understand the nature of the fact that God had to do all the work. So someone can, a pastor, a dear, loving, wonderful pastor that you have the highest regard for, can appear to be wonderful, but if he's only preaching morality, he's not trustworthy. He's not getting into the core of the gospel. He's not really telling you what your need is. And in fact, if he really is doing that, then he would also be examining these verses in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel and in Isaiah that would show that we are, that God's wrath is there. And so this is why God says, don't trust your brother. Verse 5, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. What an indictment. What an indictment. It's like they have done this deliberately. Now, they have not deliberately set themselves to speak lies, but they have deliberately set themselves to follow the teachings of their denomination. That is what they have deliberately done. They want to be as faithful as possible. And we know, again, let me repeat this so that there's no misunderstanding. If the teachings of the denomination were altogether faithful to the Word of God, would you have denominations? The fact is that the Baptists believe one thing, and the Methodists another, and the Presbyterians a third thing, and the Assembly of God something else, all about the same subject, indicates they don't have the truth. They don't know where truth is, and they deliberately are placing their trust in their denominational teachings rather than in the Bible. They're not ready to stand up and receive the whipping from their fellow pastors if they dare to say, you know, our church father so-and-so taught this and I don't find it in the Bible. I just don't believe that we can hold that anymore in our congregation. I believe that we have to change this doctrine or that doctrine, and you know he wouldn't last for 20 minutes in that denomination. The next thing, he would lose his congregation and probably lose his position in that denomination. And so it goes on, they weary themselves to commit iniquity. That's a strange statement. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. You know, the path of trying to get to God on our own merits, which is typical of congregations all over, is a very wearisome thing. They work at it. They really work in order to have a salvation message that somehow will hold together and will make sure that we are able to get into heaven. And yet it is fruitless work. It is fruitless effort. It's a wearisome task that they're going through that brings no result. They don't know how weary they are. One of the most frustrating things is, and where you really begin to get weary, is you are trying to solve a problem or you're trying to overcome a situation, and you work at it and work at it and work at it, and you can't make it. You can't get the answer. And you get more and more weary. That's why the Bible even says, don't become weary in well-doing. In other words, we are just frustrated. Now, these pastors, these Bible teachers, these witnesses, they think they have it solved. But the fact is, they are wearying themselves out. They're wearing themselves out trying to find an answer, and they're not close to an answer, not at all close. In fact, they're as far away as possible because they've set up their own kind of a gospel, their own kind of a salvation plan. And so they weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Now again, these are indictments of the severest kind. God is using words like brother and everyone. And they refuse to know me. Only God can make these charges. You and I can't make these charges. God is making these charges. We would never, never go to any assembly and say, look, you are all a bunch of thieves and liars. We could never do that. But this is from the mouth of God. These are the charges God is making so that we who are in the congregations, we who are looking for truth, might see how God looks at us. And God looks at us not through a double vision of any kind. He's not cross-eyed. He looks at us very direct. You know the Word of God? is like a two-edged sword, and it goes right into the heart of man, separating the bones from the marrow and the joints from the marrow and the soul from the spirit. In other words, nothing escapes God. And so in this passage, which is so negative and so judgmental, if there's ever a passage that's judgmental, this is. And there's a whole lot of judgmental passages in Jeremiah. It can only come from the mouth of God. But God is mincing no words. He's getting right into the very heart. Don't trust a brother. You are all under deceit. You are refusing to know the truth. And these are enormous charges that God is making, so that if we are in a local congregation and we read this, we'd have to say, oh, things are bad, huh? Things are bad. God is saying, is it really that bad? I look at our pastor, a dear, loving servant of God. I look at our beautiful congregation where everybody comes smiling, and I hear our choir sing, and my, they sang the Hallelujah Chorus this afternoon, and it was gorgeous. And is it really that bad? Is God mistaken? God doesn't know. He doesn't really know. Because when I look at our congregation, I don't see any of this. Now, we're going to get right now to a big question. Who understands truth? Who really knows the spiritual condition of that congregation? Do I know it just because I see all these outwardly lovely things that look so pleasant and happy? Is that a true judgment? Well, I'd like to believe it was, but when I compare my judgment with God's judgment, we're miles apart. We're absolutely at different ends of the pole. There's not even the slightest accommodation here. If God only said, I see a whole lot of this, or I see that many of you, or it is true that sprinkled through your congregation there are those who deceive. But God isn't using that kind of language. He is just wholesale condemning everything within that congregation. And that is because God knows the whole truth. God sees things we can't see. Lots of people are arguing, but I don't see it. I see our nice congregation. Are they trusting? Who are they trusting? Who? By what standard are they measuring? Are they measuring by God's standard, or are they measuring by the standard of man, or the standard of their church, or their standard of their pastor, or the standard of their own thinking? And that's exactly what they're measuring by, and that's absolutely not trustworthy. That's why when you come to a decent moral person and tell them, look, you're a sinner, as all of us are by nature, I'm a fine, decent individual. I love my fellow man, and you don't catch me stealing or committing adultery or murdering or taking advantage of my fellow man. I love my fellow man. Now, don't make that kind of a charge. But then we go to the Word of God, and what does it say? The heart of man is desperately wicked. God has a different evaluation altogether, and we always have to keep that in mind. But it's one thing to say that about out there in the world, but now we're talking about the apple of God's eye, the local congregation. We're talking about something that is dear to our heart. It's so close to us because we've been a part of that. And now we're finding that God is making the same judgment. If we could sum this all up, we could say God looks at the local congregation as he looks at the heart of the individual unsaved person and says, both are desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. This is the language of terrible wickedness. And so that ought to shake up anyone in the congregation to ask, well, Something, I don't know what it is, but there's something dreadfully wrong here. I better start praying for wisdom. I better start looking more carefully in the Word of God to find out where this desperate wrongdoing is, because I can't see it right now. I can't see it. All I see is good things. But the whole question is, what are we trusting? Are we trusting God, or the Word of God, or are we trusting the Bible? And here God says it is. He is speaking, he is making judgments, he is making indictments, he is making claims against the congregation that are the worst possible kind of claims, putting everything in the environment of Satan. Because remember, we learned that he is the father of lies, and the whole setting here of these verses is deception, lies. In fact, look at verse 6, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. The whole setting is deceptive. My, how many people are so glad I'm a Christian. Oh, we lovely Christians. Everything is well in our denomination and in our congregation. We have the finest pastor imaginable. All is well. They're totally deceived. Totally deceived. They cannot see because their spiritual eyes are not opened. And that even makes it worse, because it means that they don't understand at all what it means to listen to God, to get our cues and our direction from Him. Thank you for listening again to another Family Bible Study. Now we want to go out into our daily life and live in a way that is pleasing to God, even as we have learned the expectation of God for us, as He has set forth His laws by which we are to live.